The caricaturists were cruel to Darby. The latest print on display in a shop window showed him as a swollen toddler on a horse, floundering along behind his carriage in which Miss Farren sat, with elegant, averted head, her mother, a grim-faced duenna, at her side. Darby allowed his mind to float back. I first saw her walk on stage in the role of Lady Teazle in Sherry's School for Scandal. I mean, when did you and she start, or rather, when did you start not? To forestall him, Darby said, I've been on visiting terms since 81.
6 years? Gad,
said Bunbury, ladling some more punch into his glass and topping up Darby's with a splash.
That's a long stretch to waste. A man can never know how long he has left.
I wouldn't call it a waste, objected Darby. I see a great deal of the lady. She often dines with me and stays to play whist. She uses my carriage.
Sounds much like being married,
except that we never quarrel. Bunbury let out a bark of laughter. That wasn't quite true, Darby reflected. He and the actress never spoke in heat, but there were significant silences. He was still smarting from yesterday's mistake. He knew the unspoken rules, that they were never to be alone without Mrs. Farren, nor use first names, and that Eliza wouldn't accept anything from him but fruit sent down from his greenhouse at Knowsley in Lancashire, or an occasional brace of partridges after the annual foxite shooting party in Norfolk. But in celebration of her successful debut at Richmond House, where it was clear to Darby that everyone had adored her at once, he'd taken the risk of ordering a little basket of hothouse white currants and hiding a string of pearls among their translucent beads. He'd convinced himself that Eliza might let it pass on this special occasion if she were amused by the visual joke. Her mother, though often an irksome presence to Darby, never seemed to oppose his cause. He sometimes thought her a mute supporter of it. And might she not clasp the pearls round her daughter's slim neck and hush her protests? But last night, after dinner, Darby had been shaken out of the warm haze of brandy by the return of the untouched basket. He'd realised how fatuous his self-delusion had been when he read the note. Mrs. Farren and Miss Farren are much obliged, but don't find white currants agree with them.
So, you get nothing from her, you swear?
Bunbury was banging on.
The famed Farren remains icy?
No names, please, said Darby, with a glance through the fug at the other customers. Only a handful of farmers and tradesmen sucking their pipes, or playing quoits in the corner, but one never knew. Bunbury was trying to annoy him. But in the long years of their friendship, Darby had learned not to rise to the bait. He flicked some mud off his leather breeches and reached into his pocket for his snuffbox. He used to be a smoker till it went out of fashion. He found snuff so much handier and more elegant.
So, what does she say when you put it to her, as it were?
Bunbury let out a filthy chuckle.
What possible argument can she have against a good settlement?
I've never asked her. Darby flicked open the little ivory lid, which bore a memorial painting of his best gamecock, and put a pinch on the back of his hand. It was a strong Maltese variety. When he snorted, he felt that delicious burning in the back of his nose and throat.
I don't quite know how to put this, said the baronet, but is the little sword of the Smith Stanleys of Derby by any chance rusted in the scabbard?
Darby felt a pang of nostalgia for the days of his youth, when they'd still worn swords with full dress. He could have put his to Bunbury's throat.
Would you like to say that a trifle louder? He growled. No disrespect intended.
Bunbury took a long swig of punch. Relenting, Darby put away his snuffbox and told him. There are easier ways of meeting that particular need. London's full of amenable females. He knew he was making it sound as if he had these females driven to his house in Grosvenor Square every night, whereas the